This meeting is now being recorded.
Your regular vision change, is it not? if you don't see somebody that knows you, thought evil of you, well, if you don't say it from your mouth, that thought, oh, he's a bad man. Is it? You're lacking there. These values have to be noted. So as two things are, first we, as we go into it, we find more number of shortcomings. And further, the angle of vision is changed, there's still more number. The more it grows, it means you are progressing, I tell you. You know how many shortcomings are within you. Then they go down, number when you weed out. When they are concerned, you reflect, you see, you can read others' mind, you can see what is going on the other side of the wall. Purpose of maintaining that is very challenging, you see. Very high purpose. Don't follow the dictates of the mind. If you follow 100%, only then you can have the full mystery solved. We only follow what we can modify it by the dictates of mind. Some 10%, 20%, 40%, nobody obeys 100%. This is only one thing to be learned. Then every time, oh yes, he's within, how can I deceive him? Your angle of vision will be changing, you see. And when you are cleansed that way, something by outer self-introspection, and someone by coming in contact with that power within, well, you progress like that. Sometimes master forms, master appears, he is giving him back. Sometimes he quiet. Sometimes very happy. Sometimes he talks to you. So when he turns away his face, it means there is something wrong. We don't know. So that is meant for the entire person. So these certain things, you see, are not giving in talks, regular talks. When you are certain that you go into the bottom of the things, what is what? Each man has the same problem practically. Maybe in a little modified form. If you keep up your diaries, I tell you, regularly 3-4 months, like a heart of master, you'll change. And be blank. What more concession you want?
Just send it to you like you keep.
You send me blank, I will accept you. How long will you dare to send blank? That's the point. You cannot send. Mind is, I tell you, cunning thief in the form of brain. He will deceive you in a very noble way. You see, if it is very friendly. But ultimately, you see that you are let down. What you follow, follow the dictates of master.
Now, you just gave very good examples, mostly concerning the thoughts that we have.
Thoughts are very important, you see.
Yes, well, there is, of course, pride and envy and jealousy and resentment towards others and thinking badly about others, and then, of course, purity or chastity and
God-seed.
Now, is there any, you sort of leading us very well, and I sometimes sit over this sheet and I think, now what else is there that I have done wrong, and I just am missing sometimes a clue, and I just, you know, is there anything else that you'd like to lead us to?
That is, they're putting in time for meditation. Coming in contact with the light and sound principle within. That is what is wanted. That will help you. Yeah, the more progress you have. Sometimes you people, what do they see? They bring me diaries. I see it. All right. The lights are very pure. And they put in also 2 hours. And there's little progress or no progress. I told you, if your diary, this is correct, then you should have gone to the third plane. You see? You are really, if your life is quite flawless, why should you not progress? Even after putting in time. Or it may be due to wrong way of doing involving breathing, this and that should be set right. We deceive our own self, I tell you. Well, whatever you remember, put it. Try to think every what thought struck me. Not that what your body did it. Like a very hot toss master, I tell you. Don't swear yourself. And you don't swear your enemy. You don't swear yourself. This is a most dangerous and in a friend, you see, serpent in the form of a friend. He will deceive you, he will just try to retard your progress and just keep you lead away to the negative thing. Attachment to the outside thing. Deter you from going on the way. And instead of shortcomings within our own self, we begin to doubt the master. This is it. I will be work of this mind. You will do it. At least that way you see there's light, there's sound. That way you see. That are you are convinced. Then why not progress wonderfully further? There is something wrong.
Hospital.
Yes. And I supposedly
meditate 12-15 hours.
Yes.
By even when I was
visiting. In the hospital?
Well, yes.
That's right.
All right. Now, let's suppose when I came home and then recuperating and different things, I mean, but you can't go back to pick it up because you haven't had it with you, the paper. So you leave it blank because you don't want to put in this time or you remember everything. You know that these things help you get well, sound current and but you didn't put anything in because you couldn't be truthful about the exact time. I suppose it's even like the eye. You can't, I don't know how to explain it. So it's empty. It's blank. And you feel badly that way too.
That's all right. If for some reason or the other you cannot complete your diary correctly, but you're watching your life. You're watching your life. And you must be progressing too. Mm-hmm. When you're putting in more time, sickness gives you more time for meditation.
Yes.
Does it not? If you're putting in more time, there's no flaws like there, you must have more progress. Is it not? In that case, you have not been filled in on account of your eyes not working, that limits you. But eyes cannot go on all along.
No,
like so, that's
no,
not
with the eye, I don't meditate at all the same with the eye fall. I mean, if you're in the hospital, you can meditate. I mean, what you're going through for tips or something like that, or different things that bother you. With this, I couldn't meditate because
to see
my eye wanted something, I couldn't.
That's what that was meaning, all right. You can hear the sound.
Yes, they came very clear.
That's right. No, that's an only temporary short period sometimes. And moreover, I tell you, the most painful is maybe if you are just trained in a way to control your attention, even the pain won't be felt. That is when you are drunk. Feeling comes only when attention is there. Just like when you have to just inject, you see. It's all right, you just control your attention. That is not so pinching, so painful, you see. And otherwise you will feel more. And you see, it is now. Don't listen, please, what she says, because she might be calling names. Calling names, not to you, maybe. You would not like to hear.
Beg
pardon?
I have another question.
It's joined
on what you were saying.
Yes, yes,
what was
your
question? You say how our mind can deceive us and lead us away from the direction.
Yes.
Yet, one does not want to enter into this as a purely emotional experience. Well, then how am I to come to decide, to judge? I have to use my mind
to judge. You'll get help.
I see, but then earlier you told me that I must not be able to expect to understand and rationalize everything.
Well, yes, intellectually you must grasp the theory. You see, the work that has to be done by a learned man and the unlearned man is the same. You see, you have to withdraw your attention from outside, then your mind, then your body. You see, yeah. Just think, leave off all habits, analyze yourself from the body, that's the practical thing. The learned man say, why should I be dominant? Okay, what do I get? There are two men, one is learned man, the other is unlearned man. You order them, go up there, up the stairs. He says, well, how many steps there are? Well, if I leave to such and such, what will happen? Anybody would slip away, then who say me? So many things you consider. The man will go on and on and you run up. So, we have to do things. You see, London man will understand only then he will start. The other doesn't need all that botheration, I tell you. They'll go ahead all at once. Two men, one was a learned man, the other was an unlearned man, both went to a master, are being put on the way. And the master told the learned man, I'll charge you double fee. And to the other man who was unlearned, he said, I'll charge you only single fee. The learned man, oh, I know so much, I'm learning so much. Why are you charging me? He told her, I have to make you first unlearned and then
you. Oh, boy!
Both, they have to do the same thing. Difference lies on the matter. If a learned man is there with experience inside, he will explain the same thing so many ways. Even unlearned man, he goes up and takes you up. He may not be able to quote from so many, masters in the past times or so many in matter of inferences, but he'll give you this thing and he'll quote only from the vocabulary or the environment he's in. Look here. Christ said, farmers, let them sow seeds. Very nice we told them. Though they fall on the stony ground, they won't grow. Though they fall in the hedges, they grow and but retard. Though they should fall on the well-prepared ground, they will grow. And this is how they will quote that thing. Well, masters never were educated in any college or university. Do you know in which college Christ read or Guru Nanak read? Our Prophet Muhammad read. Did you know any college? I don't think so. That's something awakening from inside. They see. It's not a matter of inference, feelings, or emotions. It's a matter of seeing. They see and they make others see that.
Master, may I ask a question?
Yes, surely, like an attorney. I'm the attorney, you're the god in the field, I tell you. No, no, you're most welcome. I'm just, I'll tell you a story later on, but...
Master is a great scholar.
Beg what?
The master is a great scholar, as we know.
Is it?
I'm sure his academic attainments have not thwarted his spiritual path.
Yeah.
And therefore, I would say that intellectual accomplishments can very often be helpful.
Very often, intellectual attainment is the garland of flowers round the neck of a practical man. He will explain the things in so many ways. In whatever way he will take up, he will tell you something to prove it. At the level of his common sense too. You see? But a learned man without any experience, well, that is it. Won't lead you, that is something loading like a library only. The brain has so many things in the brain, but a library can be in your brain and in fact, you see. Learning is good, you see. I'm not denouncing it.
Well, now, I'm going to take the risk of asking a second question.
No, that's all.
Which probably is an intellectual question, but it's interesting.
Well, that's the best I know.
And it's prompted by the discussion of this sister over here on Yogananda.
Yes.
Now, Yogananda was a great yogi.
Yes.
And in the master's book, The Crown,
yes.
And I think it's around about page 138.
Yes.
I may be off the page or two, but it's...
No,
the master touches on this very subject.
Yes.
In pointing out the highest plane of the yogis.
Yes.
And then he goes on to discuss four additional planes.
Yes.
Sachkhan and the three higher planes beyond that.
Yes.
And it would be very helpful to me, Master, if you would touch on that subject and tell us a little about those four planes.
Right. Four planes. Well, from the yogi's point of view, from which point of view?
These are the four planes that the master discusses which are above the highest plane of the yogis.
Actually, the yogi generally, the stages of yogis too. Some are yogis, some are yogirajs. Yogishwar. The two stages of yogis.
Yes, you mentioned those two stages.
Yes, that's what I said.
And then you go on to discuss Sachkhan,
yes.
The Lakadam, and...
That's right. So yogi generally go to the first plane, Sansara, Sansardam. Yogeshwar go to the third plane, and he dips into the beyond a bit. And the Sant, whatever is called, that who reaches the Satnam, the two home of the father, two father, you might say. And there is Param Sant, who transcends even those three hard planes and becomes one with the worldless. See that? These are the stages. There are many people belonging to the first stage and some to the second or third. Few there are who really have transcended beyond the three. And those who are regular in the fourth plane, you see, they are called sons. Fourth plane is just divided, some people mingle up into one, some two. Brahman, Parbrahma, you see, something. So, two plane or second, whatever it is, this is the stage of the full effulgence of the worldless God into his life. And then further, just going to be absorbed الله خدام و نامی سامیات رادو سامیات نرالار مهالیان whatever they call it. So that is the state of the highest what are called termed as Paramsan. So they are sometimes you might say the Paramsan. So that's the difference.
Well, now my limited intellect
yes.
can almost picture Sach Khan, which the Master describes as pure spirit.
Yes.
But then the Master goes on to describe three planes above the planes of Sach Khan, which itself is pure spirit. And that's hard for me to...
No. Mark the difference in the words that I'm using. I said the Satnam is the full expression of the worldless state of God into full expression is Satnam. It's fully expressed. Higher plane that goes absorbing, you see, until it comes to the worldless state where there is no light, no sound. Those are the above stages. Ultimately, in the worldless state, there is no expression of light or sound. That comes only when it comes into expression. So you might say the Sach Khans, there are different divisions, you might say, of Sach Khans. You see? Allah Khagam and ultimate worldless state, what is called? Nameless one, Mahadya or Rara Sunya Swamina.
Well then, Master, will the Gam be the first stage of manifestation?
Generally, that power which is in full expression, that takes the form of a guru. He is the Satnam, you see, working, naming the human form. And then Satnam, the duty comes further to adopt the father. The guru has also got stages. Guru, Gurudev, Sadguru. You see? Guru is one that the human field is working. But this is the God in him, you see, working. He's conscious. Gurudev is one when you rise above physical body, that works in the plane second to fourth, up till fifth, to absorb you in the Satna. That is called Gurudev, means radiant form of the Master. Then Satna is the true Sadhguru. You see? That absorbs you by Seji Allah Kadamman, like that. So there are stages of the Guru too. We are everybody called a Guru. Guru is something given to such a person that whose human power God is working for the guidance of man, guidance of mankind. You see? He sometimes loves you, sometimes hates you, always don't do it. You see? At the level of man. But inside he's fully conscious, he gives you the right guidance. And when you rise above physical body, it comes in radiant form. What is called Gurudev? Gurudev means Guru, effulgent Guru, you might say. That guides you in the higher plane, second, third, fourth. And allows you in the Satnam. And Satnam further, that duty left you. That allows you in the world. The further stages are of the Paramsan, the Santara, going into the Paramsan state. But the only people make no difference. They say everybody is a Guru. You follow me? A bit?
Yes.
These are the things given in the scriptures but not differentiated. And we are not convinced unless we begin to see for our own selves. As there was one Indra Masi. In the time of Kabir. Even now, you find like that, those who dwell. He went to the fifth plane, saw Satpurush as Kabir. He told him, Kabir, if you were certain of yourself, why did you tell me before? And he said, had I told you the time of the Satpurush, you would never have believed me. Even now, you see, how many there are? Yesterday I told you, how many there are who believe? Think Master is Master. When everything goes all right according to your own wishes and oh, Master is great, Master is greater than God. is having anything goes against your will, oh, what is that, Master? Flower may be lying within you, you are not putting it over. Master, well, you are in comfort.
Good morning, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The talk you just heard was the continuation of last week's talk, The Mind is a Thief in the Form of a Friend, recorded in Washington, D.C. on January 23, 1964. Our reader this morning is Leslie McIntosh. Good morning, Leslie.
Good morning.
Go ahead whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Master's satsang this morning will be a reading from his morning talks, finishing up chapter 27, How to Develop Receptivity, Part 1, and chapter 28, The True Bread and Water of Life. We'll begin with Master's invocation. Supreme Lord of the Universe, who dwells neither in church nor temple, neither in synagogue nor mosque, but who is the soul of our very soul, we invoke your blessings from the depths of our innermost being. Beloved Master, make us simple, pure, and strong in your all-encompassing love, that all beings may look upon us and see your light shining within us. Holy Word of God, bathe us in the living waters of spirituality. Give us union with the eternal song of the Lord and strengthen our faith in the Master within. These things we do ask in your holy name. Amen. Master's Morning Talks, Chapter 27, the second half, How to Develop Receptivity, Part 1. At the time of initiation, you are given a contact with the God into expression power. If you practice it from day to day, you can develop it. At the same time, you should have self-introspection and weed out all imperfections. The more you come in contact with it, the more love, wisdom, and life you will have. By talking and attending discourses, you begin to understand something, but you don't get it. To understand is one thing. To have that being, that life, is quite another. As I told you the other day, Satsang is a school in which you have come not only to learn, but to have spirituality. First you understand what is what, then through receptivity you have that life within you. This is a vast subject. As you go in, you understand more and more and more. From thousands of miles, you are quite close to him if you are receptive. That is why Kabir said, the master may be living across the seven oceans, and the disciple is the other side. If the disciple just directs his attention to the master, he will have the same benefit as though he were close to him. For instance, when I get application for initiation, I write back and say, all right, give him a sitting. It is the word power that communicates it. Never be deceived that the person who conveys the instructions is the giver. He is only the receptacle through whom the instructions are given. You can have initiation even from thousands of miles without going through anybody if you become receptive. But generally, people do not understand. That is why some people are authorized to convey the instructions of initiation. The initiation is actually done the very moment that it is authorized. That comes from the word within you, or from the human pole where the word is fully manifested. You understand now what you learn from satsang, what you have from satsang? First is learning through theory at the intellectual level, and then having the bread, that bread of life. That will give strength to your soul. On spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. All imperfections will leave you. Just as when you sit by a fire, all cold leaves you. By hearing the sound current, you become the abode of all virtues. By hearing, you can determine the direction in which you have to go. By hearing, your inner eye is opened to see where you are going. Pity it is that we give little time to these things, and only waste away our time in trifling things, I would say. When you have understood a thing, then follow it. So long as you have not understood, satsang will help you. When you have got something, then live up to it and have only the company of somebody who has got that life within him. That will give you a boost. These things are to be understood and then lived. By speaking about bread, your hunger cannot be appeased, but you must have bread to eat. That is why Christ said, "I am the bread of life." This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life. Partaketh of it. He is the bread of life, of course. He also says, "Eat me and drink me." What to eat? He is Word made flesh. The more you come in contact with and devour that Word, the light and sound within you, the more you will be eating of the bread of life. Chapter 28 in Morning Talks, The True Bread and Water of Life. What do the masters tell us when they come? They say that God made man. Man has got the physical body and the intellect, but he is an ensouled body, a conscious entity, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness. In the worldly way, we give food to the body. We have developed physically by having the right sort of food. We have got the intellect at the level of which we have learned so many things, made wonderful inventions, and obtained all sorts of information about this physical world and other outside things. This is the bread of the intellect. So by giving food to the body and the intellect, we have become physically and intellectually strong. But we are conscious entities. What food have we given to our souls, our very own self? Learning and outward information is only food for the intellect, not for the soul. The soul is a conscious entity, and its bread and water of life can only be something conscious. We must know ourself first. All masters have been saying this from the beginning, from the very beginning. To know ourself is not a matter of feelings, emotions, or drawing inferences. It is really one of rising above body consciousness by self-analysis to know practically who we are. If when we know ourself and come in contact with all conscious God, that is the bread and water of life for the soul. All worldly information and outer sciences, the libraries are full of them. If our brain becomes full of them, well, it is no bread to the soul. It is bread and water for the intellect to grow. So the bread and water of life for the soul is the conscious contact with God or the Overself. Who can give this? It is only such a human pole whose soul is fully divine. Who has analyzed himself from the outgoing faculties and outward attachments? Who has known himself by rising above body consciousness and has become the mouthpiece of God, who is all conscious, who is all consciousness? God resides in every heart, of course. No heart is without him. He is the controlling power that keeps the soul in the body. At the present time, we do not know this because our soul is under the control of mind and outgoing faculties. We are identified with the physical body and outer environments so much so that we have forgotten our self. Unless we know our self, how can we know the Overself? The Master is a man like us, born the same way, of course. He has the same body, outgoing faculties, and intellect. But he has analyzed himself practically by rising above body consciousness. He knows himself and has contact with the Overself. He has become the mouthpiece of God. He is competent to withdraw our attention from outside and from the outgoing faculties by raising it above the intellectual level and gives a conscious contact with the Overself or God. Such a one is called a saint or master in the true sense of the word. The masters have been distributing this food of life to the people whenever they have come into this world. The human body is the highest rung in all creation. In the man body alone can we know ourself and have conscious contact with God. The gifts that a master can give, no son of man can do it. He comes to the world with a commission from God. Masters have been giving out such like things in their own language from time to time. Those who come in contact with a master really know, really see what he gives. The gifts that a master can give, nobody else can give. What is that power that gives this gift? It is the manifested God in him. You may remember the story in the Bible of Christ asking the Samaritan lady for some water. Because of an inferiority complex, she thought that as Christ belonged to a higher level of life, why should he ask her for water? And so she did not give him any. Christ then said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." He also said, "I am the bread of life. This bread of life has come down from heaven. Whoever partaketh of it shall have everlasting life." What is that bread of water and life? It is the God into expression power, which has two phases. one light and the other sound principle. It is also known as the music of the spheres, or the music of all harmony. All masters who came in the past have referred to it, whether they came in one country or another. Such like bread and water of life can only be given by a man who has become Word made flesh. He works at the human pole, of course, but his soul partakes of the bread and water of life. This is given by him to others, for on spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. Nobody on earth can give such a gift except he who has become a conscious co-worker of the divine plan, the mouthpiece of God. So this bread of life is already within us, but we cannot taste of it because the attention, which is the outward expression of the soul, is under the control of the mind. The mind is further under the control of the outgoing faculties, and the outgoing faculties are dragging us into the outside world and into the physical body. We are so much identified with these things that we have forgotten ourselves. Through the grace of the Master, we are given some experience to forget the world outside for a while, to rise above body consciousness, and to open the inner eye, the single eye, to see the light of God, and to hear the voice of God. Christ said, "You see things that the old prophets did not see. You hear things that the old prophets did not hear." So such a gift is given by a master. Outward knowledge of libraries of books or of the sayings of the masters who came in the past will not make you a master. If one's brain becomes a library, you will have only outer knowledge of what the masters said. When you drink water, your thirst is satisfied for a while, but you have not got the water of life. We are told that an apple a day keeps the doctor away. You have learned about the apple that gives a tonic to the heart or to the brain. If one man takes it, he does not need any doctor. You have come to know about the apple of life, but unfortunately, you have not so far eaten it. Whatever we know or do is only at the intellectual level. The information in your brain might give you some intellectual satisfaction, but it is not the bread of life for the soul. He who has contacted the God power within him is called Word made flesh. All masters say the same things, of course in their own language. The very water of life, which is the source of all happiness, of all virtue, of all peace, can only be had from a master. It will give you an everlasting life. It is better to be born in a temple, but to die in it is a sin. We simply attach ourselves to the casing of things, but do not touch the kernel within. The result is clash between class and class, between country and country. This everlasting life can be had by drinking the water of life through a word made flesh. If you give a tonic to the spirit, you will become spiritually strong. On our spiritual health depends the life of mind and body both. This is what the masters give us. This is what the masters give when they come. Guru Amar Das was asked, "What does the master give?" He said, "The master gives calorium through his eyes into the eyes of others, and they see light. Unless the soul is withdrawn from outside, from the outgoing faculties, and rises above body consciousness, the third eye is not opened to see the light of God. Christ said, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. These have been the basic teachings of all masters who came in the past. There are two sides to the teachings. One on the outer, the other on the inner. They have been giving the bread and water of life. They were the mouthpiece of God. Christ said, I speak as my Father moves me. Who has seen me has seen my Father. Such like statements are made by all other masters. Guru Nanak said, I speak what God makes me speak. I speak as it comes from above. I am simply a mouthpiece. Such a human pole at which God is manifest is called a saint or a master. He gives you such a gift which nobody else on earth can give you. No son of man can do it. No intellectual can give it to you. So this is what the masters give when they come. Although references to these facts are made in the books, pity it is that they are not explicitly explained in them. The references are made, but who will interpret the true import of what is said? Only a man who has lived it can do this. He explains in a clear-cut manner and in very few words. You understand now what the master gives? He is intoxicated with the elixir of life, and whoever goes to him also gets a cup of the same elixir. The competence of the master lies in not giving theories of lectures or explaining what past masters said, but to give you first in theory and then a demonstration of the theory in a practical experience. This is really where the greatness of the master lies. So this is the bread and water of life which the masters have been giving in the past. The formations that resulted from their teachings were made for the purpose of enabling more people to have that bread of life. So long as the practical God in man or man in God was amongst them, they enjoyed that privilege. When the formations became devoid of such personalities or human bodies at which God was working, these very formations became stagnations, and stagnation results in deterioration. An intellectual can give you all of these statements by word, but cannot demonstrate or give a cup of that elixir by giving some capital to start with. Many so-called masters come with their propaganda, but they give only the theory. They tell you to repeat this or that mantra or words. That alone won't do. Our master used to say, Any little girl spinning a wheel can give you the five words. That means nothing. It is the demonstration that counts. The greatness of the master lies in the fact that he is competent to give you some capital to start with. By withdrawing your attention from outside and raising it above body consciousness, he opens your inner eye to see the light of God and to hear the voice of God, may be little or more. That depends upon each man's background, but you must have something to start with. He who can give that bread or water of life is called a saint. This is why the masters have been so highly spoken of in sacred literature, whether they belonged to one country or another. To meet such a master is a great blessing. In conclusion, Master says, each one of us is unique in his own way. There is a divine purpose behind the life of everyone who comes into the world. No one has been created for nothing. We have something to learn from everyone. This is the mystery of humility. And that'll conclude our readings this morning from Master Kirpal Singh's Morning Talks, the second part of Chapter 27, How to Develop Receptivity, Part 1, and Chapter 28 in Morning Talks, The True Bread and Water of Life. Thank you, Master.
And thank you, Leslie, for reading for us. We had 79 callers at today's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us. Now, please hang up your phones. Thank you.